Pepsi Prebiotic Cola in original and cherry vanilla. That Pepsi taste you love with no artificial sweeteners, only 30 calories, just 5 grams of sugar, and 3 grams of prebiotic fiber. That great Pepsi taste with even more to love. Pepsi Prebiotic Cola. Unbelievably Pepsi.
This is The Bench. The Bench on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Presented by Prime Social. Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios. Here's John Granato and Lance Erline.
Good Wednesday morning, everybody. John and Lance, along with Dell, here with you. Where he'll joins us at 9 on ESPN 97.5. What up?
What up?
Yeah. What's going on?
Yeah, my microphone is, I've got it on this Pac-Man. It's by the joystick of the Pac-Man.
Oh, it's by the joystick.
Joystick on the Pac-Man. I've got to put it at a certain place because there's not a lot of table space for my computer.
So do you play Pac-Man during the show?
No, you'd hear the noise.
It's oh, yeah, you loud. can't turn
No, that's Donkey Kong. No, I can't remember the noise on Pac-Man. It's just a lot of...
Right, and he gobbles up. Right.
That's mostly what it is. Yeah. Yesterday was a beautiful day for me. Finished all of my profiles, number 500, in the books. So today will be a good day where I'm just chasing down where guys are going to get drafted. Rumors, mock draft, have to have that turned in by today. So today is a lot of cleanup for me, trying to figure stuff out. But I'm finally done with all my profiles, so it was good to get number 500. And like, the last guy that I watched on tape, not good. The last guy that I wrote up, I had notes. I watched his tape the other day. So he was the last official 500th guy that I wrote up. They were in different orders. Not very good. So it was kind of, it actually feels better to finish with somebody who's not very good because you don't feel like you left any, you know, you don't feel like you left as many people out. Because if somebody gets drafted, and somebody will, who I didn't write up, I've got to write them up after the draft. That's not a great feeling.
No. I mean, and here's the deal. I don't know. That last guy, was he really that bad, or are you just pissed off by five?
No, he's not draftable at all. Not close. Like, okay. It's a relative. Remember, there's only 270 people drafted. I write 500. So almost half of them will not be drafted who I write up.
So
that's a lot.
That is a lot. So you're just wasting your time on a lot of guys. Just
no.
Waste.
Yeah. No, because when they become players like Roy Robertson Harris or Austin Eckler, people search my profiles. They search their name. They don't know anything about them. And they Google it, and then they use what I've written up either for their articles or try to use it sometime against me for forces of evil if I was wrong on the person. But so that frequently, like, we'll have – I don't know, 5 years ago we had 15 million hits in 3 days of the draft profile. So right, I would imagine, based on the way things move quickly for technology, that's up over 20 million international hits. So I've got a lot of pressure to try to be accurate with what I see. And that includes players who, like I said, who I look at who don't get drafted. A lot of those guys end up making teams or people write articles about how they practice squads, so they search and they just search their name and draft. Or a lot of people know that I write these guys up, so they go to my thing to see, go to my draft tracker to see if I have them written up. So that's one of the reasons I take so much time in doing these and try to get them right, is I know how many eyes are on them and I don't want to screw it up.
Yeah, well, and two, I mean, you're gonna catch hell from a guy.
Well, my name's
Dan.
On it.
Dan Patrick.
Oh, yeah. It doesn't matter. As long as I have anything called a weaknesses column in the profile, they have something to try to use against me when those athletes come in. That's a lock.
Is it me or is Lance sounding garbled? Is it my reception?
It's not just you.
Okay.
I thought it was the Pac-Man noises at first.
Yeah, I thought it was Pac-Man too. It does sound. There it is. Lance, you must have that. I mean, something's happening electronically. Yeah. Are you sure you should be that close to Pac-Man while you're doing the show?
I don't know. It could be the internet today. I don't know. We can try to get a reconnect going if you want.
Mine is good.
Yeah, let's try that. Let's try a reconnect.
All right. Yeah, you're going to have to reconnect. In the meantime, while he's reconnecting, we can go over. How about Gronk? And I think this is, I don't know. I just get the feeling that maybe this is a lot of hype overnight. Now, he has been his whoopee. No question about it. The two of them together are, you know, almost unbeatable. You know, Brady has been normal. He's been a mere mortal without Gronk. You saw last year, he wasn't even, he was one of the worst, had one of the worst years he's had because Gronk wasn't there. But Gronk, man, this offseason, Gronk looked like he was a swimsuit model. Whether or not he's going to be able to bulk up right away and get back to his, you know, his larger-than-life status on the football field. I mean, they were showing some hits that Gronk took, and it's really no wonder that he wanted to retire. I mean, some double teams and some hits that were just, holy crap, how are you getting up, dude? And then they had an interview of him where he's, you know, breaking down a little bit, talking about how he didn't love it, and he couldn't get up for every game, he couldn't get up for every practice. And maybe it's different now after he's been out for over a year, but his body is not the same as it was when he was playing. It's just not.
No,
and it'll be interesting.
That's the problem, John, is he's going to have to here's a problem that I have with this, and I think you may be right. I think there's maybe a lot of talk about something that's maybe not as big a deal. It may not turn out to be as big a deal. Number one, he's probably 40 pounds lighter. I'd say minimum 40 pounds lighter. Besides that, he was breaking down physically, right? Well, what happens when you're 40 pounds lighter and you've got to gain 40 pounds in an off season or in 6 months? That's a lot of weight to put on your joints, to put on your frame. That's a lot of weight. Rob Gronkowski weighed what he weighed. I don't recall him looking substantially – like Kyle Long I saw looking substantially thinner when he was in Houston for the Super Bowl, and he was in the middle of his playing career. I don't recall Rob Gronkowski recall Rob Gronkowski ever looking that small in the season. So now he's going to have to be able to let me turn my levels down here and see what happens. Now he's going to have to be able to gain all that weight in one off season and hold it appropriately. That's not easy. Now I can yo-yo for 20 pounds, and I don't have the same athletic ability when I gain 10 to 20 pounds, like during a quarantine. I don't feel like I have the same explosiveness. I don't feel as explosive athletically. I think he's going to find the same thing. I don't know if he's going to put that weight on with pie and Whataburger. I don't know. Maybe he will. But I can tell you it's effective in adding the weight, but it doesn't aid in your explosiveness.
Yeah. No, anytime you've got to put weight on or take weight off in a hurry, it's a big fail. It is a fail. And you know, he better start. Now, is there a chance he becomes a slot tight end, a Jimmy Graham-ish kind of guy, as opposed to what we've seen before? Hey, listen, he's older too. He's had all of the injuries as well. He was a dominating blocker. He was a dominating receiver. But maybe his role changes a little bit. You keep Brate and O.J. Howard in there to block inside, and Gronk maybe moves into the slot a little bit more. If that's got to be the case, that's got to be the case. And Brady will still has his whoopee. He'll still be a tough matchup. You know, if he's able to put on 10 to 15 pounds of the 40, still be about 20 to 25 pounds lighter, he still can be effective for you, but he's just going to have to be a little bit different. He won't be that same guy that we've seen over the years.
Yeah, and you're probably right about that. He's probably going to have to be, and maybe it will be better for him to be a lighter version. But you know what? He was breaking down. Tom Brady was stinking last year. This could be a bunch of talk for nothing, too. I mean, it could make them really effective. There are rumors that they could look at Jerry Jeudy or Justin Jefferson and say, you know what, we're just going to put Gronk, Justin Jefferson, or Jeudy, Godwin, and Mike Evans. We'll just not throw all those guys at you. And maybe we'll try to go grab Clyde Edwards-Helaire in the second round. We'll see what happens there. And that methodology is just, that's what you call going all in. That's called going all in. Mm-hmm. Not, we traded every pick for Tunsil. We're all in. One left tackle. No, that's not all in. All in is what the Tampa Bay Bucks are doing.
Yeah. No, agreed. Agreed. Now, this Bucks team has the makeup, has the look of last year's Browns offseason. I mean, the hype. The number of people that went to Vegas that were, you know, just firing on the Browns in the offseason. You know, oh, look, they picked up OBJ. And look, they finished the season strong. And Baker, and now Freddie Kitchens takes over. And it looked like the team. Now, this is what an offseason. Look at what the Browns are doing. Here come the Browns. Let's go put some money on them. And fail. And that's got a real possibility here, because Brady wasn't the same guy. He just wasn't. Now, right. With Bruce Arians, maybe renewed a little bit. I mean, we see him breaking the law now. Tom Brady, All-American, breaking the law, being in the park, practicing.
When has he ever broken the rules?
Right.
When has Tom Brady ever broken the rules? Sign Patriots history.
This new Brady is a rule breaker, and I love
the old Brady was too.
No, he never broke rules.
Okay, I'll tell it to his deflated footballs and his. Can you give us your phone? Oh, I accidentally dropped it into the toilet. Huh?
Yeah. No. A lot of people will lose their phones, or they broke, or whatever.
You
can't find them.
Your screen doesn't mean everyone else.
Look at my screen is broken now. I broke my screen yesterday, and what happened? I won't be able to give it to the commissioner. Okay, if David Gow asked for my phone today, guess what? I can't. Sorry, my phone broke. Can't possibly see it now. Because I broke my screen yesterday because of Lance. So, I mean, this happens all the time. And so, this really does have the look of, I mean, this could be an epic fail and a big hype over. Really, you get Tom Brady and Rob Gronkowski. If this was 10 years ago, you know, this is almost like the Texans 2016.
Let me ask you something, though.
Watch out.
Let me ask you something, though. If Tom Brady's just average, though, they could win that division.
Not with the Saints in it.
Yeah, if he's just average. I'm just talking about average Tom Brady. Average being who would
the
consider
Saints were,
average? Like the number.
The Saints are a good football team, man. How are they going to be average?
The Saints are a good football team. They are going to. What I'm saying is Tom Brady doesn't have to be New England Tom Brady. He just has to be a lesser version of that. He just has to be accurate. Do you know how much better every single receiver is? Every single target is better than everyone he had over there.
Oh, yeah.
Every single one of them.
Well, right. But he's not in the Saints. He wasn't in the Saints division in New England.
No, that was a softer. Well, there's a softer division. It's not like Atlanta's this juggernaut. And certainly Carolina hasn't been very tough. Look who, I mean, they got Teddy Bridgewater rolling out this year. That's not a tough one either.
No, but win the division. That's the Saints' division to win. I mean,
yeah, it is. But I think Tampa. You'd be surprised how people. Well, you won't be surprised. The odds makers are going to shoot Tampa way up. Let's see how they do in the draft too, because they also have what's called draft picks.
Yeah. Well, no, not if you're all in, Lance. You don't have any draft picks. See, you don't know anything about that. You see,
if you're all in.
You give away all of your draft picks, Lance. That's not all in. That's all in. What the Texans are is all in because they gave away all their draft picks.
Well, here's what they're about to do. Trade O.J. Howard and pick up a draft pick.
Oh, really?
They're about to add another draft pick, yeah.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
That's going to help them? You don't know anything about it. You give up two first-rounders for a tackle that you don't sign. That's all in.
I'm not talking about Bill O'Brien doesn't get today. I'm not talking about Bill O'Brien today. I'm not going to give him today. He doesn't have a first-round pick tomorrow, so he doesn't get conversation today.
Let's talk about business interruption. Let's talk about potential. Oh, well, you got layoffs. How about unemployment claims? Man, I was talking to Nick the other day. He goes, oh, my goodness, all the people. And you know what? There's a lot of work to do with unemployment claims, benefits administration, COBRA benefits, payroll tax, government-sponsored business tax credits, H.R. 6201, the Family's First Coronavirus Response Act. You know about it? Maybe not. I don't know. HRMP does. HRMP also is going to help you with your current SBA loan made available through the COVID stimulus. Is your current payroll provider helpful or harmful to your SBA loan application? Are they knowledgeable? Did they respond to your request? Were you able to get them on the phone? Were you able to speak with a knowledgeable professional that knows about the SBA loan process? These are all things that HRMP is doing every single day. Listen, if you're not completely satisfied with your HR and payroll provider, go with ours, HRP.net. They are awesome. Ask, you know what? You can call up to the station and ask Laura about them. They are really, really good at what they do. HRP.net, 281-880-6525 or HRP.net.
G'day, Sam Windsor from the Houston Sabercats here. Rugby's simple. Make tackles, hit rucks, score tries. Almost as simple as using the app. Stream ESPN 97.5 from anywhere, even down under.
You're listening to The Bench on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Presented by Prime Social. Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's John Granato and Lance Erline.
Welcome back here on ESPN 97.5. Del put a story in. I just think it's so dumb, Lance. And I get it. I get it. But, I mean, that you can't, that Isaiah Simmons, that you can't find how to use a good football player, to me, is just, I mean, this dude flies around the field. He's fast. He's instinctive. He goes sideline to sideline. He's a great tackler. He's all of these, and well, his versatility is just a problem. I mean, honestly, to me, this is like the quarterback situation. Well, he runs and throws. No, we can't be having that. You got to be a pocket passer. And really, look at it. You don't. You can be versatile. And so, and this thing is just, to me, is just silly. I want a guy that can do. I can put him in the box. I can put him on the edge. I can put him inside. I can rush him inside. I can do all kinds of things with Isaiah Simmons. He's a good football player. Can we stop?
Yeah, he's a good football player, but there are some real concerns when you watch tape on him, because he didn't have good instincts at all. I mean, he goes into the wrong run fits. They hit plays on him. When I was watching him on tape, I was like, why is this guy considered so good? And one of the reasons I pushed him up was because I am anticipating, I like the fact that he's versatile, and I'm anticipating someone fine-tuning him. It was the same issue with Jabril Peppers. Everyone talked about Jabril. Now, the difference is Jabril wasn't this kind of body type. This is a ridiculous body type. But you know who else,
Trump? And you keep hearing Jabril Peppers. Oh, see, he Jabril Peppers. Jabril Peppers is a totally different player.
No, he's a different player, but he had the same issue, which was, is he a linebacker or safety? And that's the same issue. Let me tell you exactly who Isaiah Simmons is. He's going to be really good at covering tight ends, but he's not great at covering wide receivers out of the slot, which is what they ask him to do a lot of. He is a great run and chase and tackle weak side linebacker, but he's not great when the action's coming at him as a linebacker, because he's a safety who has grown into a linebacker's body. So he doesn't have linebacker skills yet. That's just not who he is yet. He's got to get that. He looks like it. That's not who he is. And then he's not a back-end safety. That's also not what he is. So now you got to figure out, who he's going to be on first down and second down. That sounds great in theory, but every time you move him around, and this came from a defensive coordinator I talked to, he said, every time you move him around, you say, we'll just move him all over the place. Well, that has an impact on a lot, on 10 other guys. And this is coming from a coordinator who said, if you move him into somebody else's position, then that guy has to do something else. And that can change up a lot of different things, or you're pulling him off the field. And if you're talking about him being a sub-package guy where his best value is on third downs, then that's not even – he goes, if your best value is on third downs, then you're not a top 10 player. And he thinks he could be a top 10 player, but he just thinks he's going to take some time. I'll give you an example. Hassan Reddick was drafted early by the Arizona Cardinals, and he was trying to move from outside linebacker to linebacker, and he's been a failure over there. Now, what Steve Keim will tell you is it's a lot easier moving forward from safety to linebacker than it is from being a pass rusher moving to linebacker, which is what Wisconsin's Zach Bond is doing. But, I mean, I'm with you. Look, I've got Isaiah Simmons. I mean, I've got Isaiah Simmons as the fifth best player in the draft right behind Joe Burrow. So I like him a lot. And my thing is I see a guy who can potentially cover George Kittle and can spy Lamar Jackson whenever they play the Ravens. Show me another guy that can do that. But it is a legitimate question about what do you do with them on first and second down, because I'm telling you now, I thought Tremaine Edmonds was a beast coming out of Virginia Tech, but he didn't have very good instincts, and I knew that would be a problem. And that dude fell to like the 12th pick, and I would have sworn he would have been a top 7 pick, but he fell to 12. So, and he was a better linebacker than Isaiah Simmons is. So I think it's going to be interesting to see where Simmons goes. I don't think he gets past Arizona at 8, personally.
You think Arizona's going to and how's Tremaine Edmonds doing?
Good. I mean, from what I know, he's covered Buffalo. But I think he's doing really well. I mean, Buffalo. I had him as a top 4 pick. Guys don't look like that and not turn into players, typically.
Right. He's had 121 and 115 tackles over the last 2 years.
Is that all?
Yeah, that's it. That's all.
Oh,
I mean,
well,
so
one day.
Yeah, I mean,
maybe
so,
one day he'll.
maybe he'll work out for him.
But
no,
now
they love Tremaine Edmonds, I'm going to tell you this: they're going to love Isaiah Simmons too. He's just a football. He's a football player. I mean, I'm getting
some good stuff on people. They say the kid out of Penn State, Yetur Gross-Matos, is a little bit of a. He's just rubbing people the wrong way in some of his interviews. Guys aren't loving it. And one guy, and I had one GM tell me, he said, you know what? I'm just figuring out now. It's just a higher percentage of guys who aren't super likable anymore that you talk to. He said, it's just this generation just doesn't of players who are coming in now. And he said it's been like this for maybe 4 years. He just said, it's just different. You talk to them and they just don't love. He goes, then I watched the Jordan documentary at all. He said the Jordan documentary basically crystallized for him that it's just not for a lot of these guys. They just don't have that passion for winning. Like, winning is not the number one thing. Mm-hmm. Winning is way down the list for more players than it's ever been. They say they want to win, but the main thing is, where am I getting drafted? Where do I get to live and play? And what is the when do I get to my second contract? And he just said there's also a bunch of guys who just don't have a big passion for football anymore. Like, they have low football IQs. They haven't put, and he said, you can tell they haven't put any time into their craft. They just play because that's what they're supposed to do, but they don't, you know, love it the same. And I thought that was kind of interesting, because it's obviously not everybody, but he just said there's going to be a higher percentage of guys.
And I don't know anybody else that has Michael Jordan's passion. So, I mean, That's a whole
no, but loop. but the Pistons. I mean, the point is, because we were talking about basketball when Jordan had to beat the Celtics and the Pistons, you know, and get in the Knicks, and come on, that's a lot of guys, John, that were grinders. You had a lot of guys that were look at the Rockets. I mean, that's all in one era.
Yeah, that's true. Yeah,
Barkley too. You had Barkley, and Barkley. It's not like
time.
He wasn't living his life.
No. I mean, it's a different time. I don't think that there's any question about that. And listen, the older generation, every single – well, this, in the 90s, they were this, the guys from the 60s were talking about how soft they were. You know, so, I mean, it happens. It happens all the time. And that's just – this is definitely a different kind of – with this, the world that we live in, this PC world that we live in. I mean, it definitely is a different. It's soft. They're all soft like Dell. I mean, it's just,
well, there's different. There's different. I just think it's. I think it's really more a case of there's so many options for people now. You're not hyper focused on one thing, right? It's like having. It's like when you used to have television. You had basic cable. Well, you watched a lot of the same shows because you had basic cable. So there wasn't going to be a lot of different channels. And if there's an HBO show on, like on Sundays, you were watching Oz and The Sopranos, because that was the day that HBO shows came on. It was Sunday. And then as we've gotten bigger and bigger with streaming and all that, we're all spread out. Everyone's interest and everyone's, and I think that's probably the same way with these kids who are 18 to 22 who happen to be football players, for example, using the draft. I think a lot of them, their attention and what they put their attention on and where they spend their time, there's a lot more time on social media. There's a lot more time doing this. There's a lot more time doing that. And it's not ball is life. Like it used to be ball is life. Mm-hmm. That was it. I mean, ball is life was for a lot of guys. Not everybody. I don't want to overstate it. I remember Bam Morris being on the show with us telling us when we were at 6'10", man, I just wanted my next paycheck. I didn't even care about the sport. It was just a means to an end for me. But ball is life was a real thing that came out in the 90s, and that felt real. I don't feel like ball is life is a real pertinent.
Not for some guys. Hey, there's some guys that still have the
passion. But you feel like it's a...
Look at Quentin Nelson. Look at Quentin Nelson. You think he's got ball? You think ball is life?
Oh, no, there's
Nelson?
No question. There's no question. I don't know that it's a majority. A majority of guys, though, like it used to be. Well, I might be wrong.
Lance is looking at everybody's bag again, Del. Everybody's looking at.
No, you can get your bag. I don't think it impacts how much time you put into it, what your love of the sport is. If it's just a big paycheck, why wouldn't you want to do it? The big paycheck brings everybody out of the woodwork, right? If you know you're going to make a lot of money, why would you not keep doing it? If you don't make as much money, that's more. You kind of have to be passionate about it then.
Well, absolutely. All right, 729 ESPN 97.5, 737-803-776 if you want to come in.
ESPN 97.5.
You're listening to The Bench on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Presented by Prime Social. Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's John Granato and Lance Zierlein.
Josh posted a Stephen A. talking. See, this is what I can't stand. I mean, maybe we should play it, Del. It's on SportsMap this morning. I mean, it hits all the points. It hits everything that we know. So Stephen A. just goes off, and it is amazing to me. We had Chris Canty on. We had Evan Silva on. We see Stephen A. It just pisses me off how much attention the Texans have gotten this offseason, and it's all negative. It's all about how stupid the moves that Bill O'Brien has made are. I mean, it's just every single day. I mean, you look up at ESPN, because we got it on mute here while we're doing the show, and you look up and they're talking about the Texans again, and Stephen A's going off on Bill O'Brien again, or it's about Bill. This question was, who's got more pressure, Bill O'Brien or Bill Belichick this draft? How could Bill O'Brien have any pressure this draft when he doesn't have any picks? I mean, he's got the 40th and the 90th pick. What kind of pressure? He's given away the whole draft. What kind of pressure is there on him? And yet, Stephen A. says, well, look at his resume and look at Belichick's. Of course there's more. Yes, there's more pressure, but not in this draft. It's not in this draft. It's what's the next Dumbo move he's going to make in the front office? What's the next idiotic trade he's going to make? What's the next acquisition of a player that doesn't deserve gigantic money, be it Randall Cobb or David Johnson or Whitney Merciless or Brandon Cooks, or goodness gracious, is there anybody else that he can botch paying? Is there? No, I think he's done. He's full tilt now. He's all in. He's pushed all his chips into the middle. There's no. Is there any money? They still have like 19,000, $19 million, don't they, in cap space? But Bill knows. I mean, we've heard him say, well, you got to look for the future, so maybe he won't spend it on somebody stupid. I don't know. Maybe he won't. But there's probably something stupid coming. There's probably something he can do to that you just shake your head and go, you could have done that better.
You'd almost swear he wants to be part of the news cycle so bad. I mean, I'm not saying he does, because the news cycle doesn't treat him very well, but it almost feels like that. How about the fact that a retired player got a fourth. My gosh.
Okay. You got to do something about that, Del.
That's bad again.
It's bad again.
I mean, it's trying to connect on the phone, but I'll just do it on the phone. That's fine.
Yeah, you're going to have to connect on the phone. I don't think there's any question. So, Del, new NCAA rules come out yesterday. Anything? It really was pretty vanilla on these rules, right? I mean, is there anything nothing is groundbreaking.
No, I mean, if you want to complain about something, not you specifically, but people may find the need to complain about now that players can actually wear the number zero. Like,
a big deal. Who cares?
It's just never happened before in college football. Lance is trying to talk, and it sounds terrible even with that. Just the zero is the new thing. So if you see a player out there with the zero, that's now a thing in college football. And also, if you get ejected for targeting, you don't get thrown. You don't have to walk. You don't have to do that walk of shame thing that they used to force kids to do.
They're going to let you sit on the sideline and change jerseys with somebody?
I don't think they're going to. That's the goal, but who knows who might try to get that off.
A Bobby Valentine thing where you wear a fake mustache on the sideline?
No? I mean, I feel like they're going to have TV cameras everywhere, so that's going to be kind of hard to get away with. But hey, keep trying.
Bobby Valentine got away with it.
No, he didn't,
No one knew that he was in the dugout with his
You
fake
knew
mustache.
Because you're replaying the story right now. People found out about it pretty quickly. Oh. Hey, that's Bobby with the stupid mustache on.
Zero is going to be such a big deal. It's going to be such a huge deal.
Is that going to be the number that you get if you're the number one recruit? Like, at LSU, 18 is the number. If you wear 18, then you've worked your ass off.
Do you remember why?
Yeah, from the running back, fullback, what was his name? Went to San Diego.
Jacob Hester.
That's the Jacob Hester number.
And what does Temple do? Do you know what Temple does?
I do not know what Temple does.
Do you know?
Yeah, they give all their hardest working players the single digit numbers. Like, I think they decide that before, like, and then they do it all over again. They decide it during camp, during fall camp.
Temple
Temple Tough, you get the single digit number.
Which I kind of like. I like that. I think that's a great college tradition. And Jacob Martin was a Temple Tough guy, as a matter of fact. Matt Rhule gave him a single digit. But I think it's a great. I love it, and I think zero should not be for the college recruit, to a diva. It should be, if you want number zero, maybe it's going to be for that guy, whoever that guy is, your biggest leader, the best weight room guy, the biggest. Of course, certain players can't wear the number, but so that's the one thing that, offensive linemen can't wear that number. That's the only position that can't wear that number, right? Offensive line.
Yeah, I'm not sure why that's a rule. Because defensive tackles can wear single digit numbers. I'm not sure why offensive linemen are the ones excluded, but from that. But I guess everyone else can.
Everyone else.
I don't get it. Why would offensive linemen be different? But yeah, I've never seen a single digit on the offensive lineman, so I imagine it's a rule.
No, it is. It's 100% a rule. Yeah. But everyone's going to be fighting to be able to wear number zero. And that's the definition. If something is utterly predictable, isn't that the very definition of basic? Is when you know what you're never going to see? A guy go, hey, I got to get number 88. Can I get my hands on number 88? No, you know why? Because it's not sleek. It's broad. Like, can I wear number 88 in some black shoes? Well, you just might as well tell everyone you're on a 4840 then if you're a receiver wearing number 88 with black shoes, or you play at Penn State.
Yeah, right. I mean, well, no. See, zero could be that number. But why it's a big deal? Oh, good. Players can wear zero now. Yay!
Well, the NCAA didn't do it because of fashion or hype. They did it, at least in their estimation. They did because there are too many players having there are too many players on the roster with not even just double numbers, with triple numbers. Like, some rosters had
triple numbers.
Three guys. Was in the explanation. I don't know if that's has a lot of fact behind it, but they said too many players had the same number on the team, because you got to throw walk-ins into the mix as well.
You would have to have over 180 players.
Well, you have walk-on, so you have about 100. So some those guys get numbers, too. So they're saying that too many players on the roster had the same number, so we'll add another number to limit some of that stuff.
Right. They don't want three guys with the same number. 85 scholarship players.
Do you remember your number in high school, John?
My number? Sure, 13.
And is that the same number in college?
No. I was not. I was 16 in college.
Did you offer to do anything for the guy who had number 13?
I didn't offer to do anything. No. No, it was a senior that had 13 when I got there, so I just took 16.
So when he was gone, did you immediately demand 13?
No. I
see, you weren't basic.
Actually, I changed numbers as I went up from freshman to varsity. 13 was the number that I had my most success with in high school, but I didn't care. I didn't care. No. So anyway, no. I mean, I could see where Tom Brady, you know, Godwin gives up 12 for Brady, but no one gave up 13 for me. Yeah.
Dell, do you remember what patch, like what advertising patch you wore whenever you were playing soccer?
I didn't play at a level where we needed advertising.
Like Bimbo?
No, I didn't play. I didn't play at a level where we needed advertising patches. I played. My number was 14 in soccer and 35 in football, just because. That
Danny's tow truck.
No.
What about Danny's tow truck?
I didn't play at a level where we needed. Where we needed that type of sponsorship.
Bail
mostly,
bonds?
No, Chico's Bail Bonds are
Chico's
not sponsors.
Chico's Bail Bonds?
No, you know who sponsored me? My dad. Hey, here's the fee. Pay it or he doesn't play. That's who sponsored me.
Yeah.
You know what's funny is we always, in Richmond Rosenberg, you always had sponsors. And like a lot of little leagues have sponsors, even to this day. And so, you know, you had whatever your team name was, the Raiders or whatever. And then on the back, you had whoever the sponsor was. And it was a local business. It was an insurance company or some plumbing company.
And they got the picture of the trophy. They got the picture of the team in their business at the end of the season.
Oh, look, this dry cleaners. Yeah.
Right. Right. Klein's got that at Klein's right now. He sponsors his teams, and he gets the trophy, or he gets the, you know, and the pictures of all of his teams that he sponsors. His baseball team. Well, his kids all played. They played baseball growing up. So Cade was a good baseball player. So he's got his, and he sponsored all his teams. That's what you do as a local business. That's nice. That's supporting the local kids. All right. And then when they need a diamond, they go to see Mark. That's what you do. That's exactly what you do. 742 ESPN 97.5 7378. If you want to sponsor our show, you're more than welcome to call us. 713-780.
Absolutely.
I'll put your name. I'll wear a jersey with your name on the back. I'll do that. Yeah, if you sponsor our show, right? I'll be number 97.5, and we'll put your name above it. But we'll have the logo above the nameplate because that's really really important to have the logo ESPN 97.5 logo above the nameplate because first there was the logo. Okay,
so you guys make reference to it, but you don't want me to play the original for some reason.
No, I don't want you to
play it.
Because I just don't. Because I don't want you making fun of my man.
I'm not making fun.
Yeah, you are.
I'm paying tribute. You just made fun.
No, I didn't make fun. The nameplate, the logo above the nameplate is vital. You don't know nothing about it.
Yeah, if you guys don't know what he's talking about, because you probably forgot because it's a very Texan thing for them to do. They created this entire hype video because they put the logo above the nameplate before last year's uniforms.
The big uniform change.
Yeah, you know, the Chargers, they released their uniforms. Everyone's in love with them. I don't think there was a story written about the Texans putting the logo above the nameplate last
year.
Well,
no. That was a big uniform change. Don't
was
you remember?
It? Was
yeah.
it?
Yeah, the logo above the nameplate. Huge.
Yeah.
Huge.
I don't remember the hype the same way
it was
Chargers
huge.
Are getting.
The ratings were huge. The response
nothing
was tremendous.
Nothing new. The Chargers look awesome. The Chargers jerseys look awesome. And you know what I decided? Until this whole regime is out, I mean everybody, from the top to the bottom, until everyone's out, I don't want to mess with a jersey change. Because once you get one, you can't have another one for like 20 years. I don't want anybody in this regime making any decisions about a different jersey.
Well, I've seen a lot of people. Like, why didn't you just go? I mean, Scott Van Pelt last night did a whole thing on a segment on it. Hey, Falcons, I had an idea for you. Why don't you just go back to these, the old Steve Bartkowski Falcons uniforms, which were pretty cool, were actually pretty cool looking. And, you know, hey, Tampa, just go back to the orange, the creamsicles. Those look awesome. Hey, you know, what are you doing, New England? What the hell is that uniform? And then the Chargers came out and he said, you know, nice job. It's a tribute to the old school. And that's, you know, and the Texans should do that too. They should have a tribute to the old school. Well, he did say somebody got to grab on those older uniforms now because they were totally sweet. And he's got a point about that. Those Columbia blue and whites were totally sweet. I mean, they were showing.
Oh, God, I'm so over those jerseys.
No, they were awesome, dude. That was an awesome
uniform.
Especially the shiny blue pants that they had, those were sweet. No, that would be totally sweet. If the Texans went to that instead of their red, white, and blue, Columbia, deep steel blue, liberty white, blood red.
Why does it sound like like you're trying to make a jacket out of skin?
Because they're corny.
That person?
No, because they're so corny. Look at us. We've got deep steel blue and rubbery blue. Shut up. It's just corny.
Oh, Dell, play some Q Lazarus in the background.
It's just cornball
so
after.
Would you like to wear some deep steel red and some Liberty blue?
No.
Liberty white?
No. Or it gets the hose? No.
I think you look hot in Liberty red and deep steel blue.
I think it's Liberty white. I'm not sure.
Yeah, whatever. I just know that it all can be worn as skin anyway.
I'm telling you, your phone, you sound just like him.
Django.
Put on this battle red here.
We want to see if you have a wide receiver in your well.
I've got 3 or 4 wide receivers in my well. They're all injured. You want to come in and look?
No, sir, I don't want to come in and look. I'm from West Virginia.
Wait, Will Fuller puts the lotion on the skin or he gets the hose in there?
Put the lotion on your ankle! Hamstring! I'm going to wear his ham. I'm going to use his hamstring as a workout apparatus.
Turn that off because I got to talk about Jeff Aronoff and that's too creepy. That's too creepy.
Would you? Me?
No. No, Jeff Aronoff. Jeff Aronoff's like, hey, listen, I don't know what I'm going to do about this well down here. Okay, maybe we can. There's a lot of brick in there I can use to fix up your patio. Okay, maybe
we
can take this well
blood off the patio.
we can take this well and turn it into a new patio.
You're a freak, dude.
So that's what Jeff Aronoff do, though. What he does is he makes your patio look great. He makes your kitchen look great. He makes your business. This is, again, okay, is your business closed? So why aren't you fixing it up now? So because you're going to get back and things are going to – but if your business is old, dilapidated, the old countertops, old vanities, you got to fix. You've been wanting to fix that bathroom. You don't want to close and your business while you're doing it. Well, your business is closed now. This is a great time to upgrade. And Jeff Aronoff's a great guy to do it. So you don't need an architect because Jeff Aronoff can do all the planning. He will set up all the guys. He will get the stone. You can pick it with him. He will help you on this deal, too. He helped Yanni do that bar at Demerit. It's outstanding, and it's going to last forever. And this is the kind of workmanship that you're going to get. If you're looking for a great way to fix up that business or the home, you know, he can put in that outdoor patio or kitchen right now while the kids are all inside and he's working outside. And stay, you know, so your social distancing as well. All you got to do is give them a call and let them get started. 713-880-2822. 713-880-2822. It's absolute marble and granite.
To call into the HRNP listener line, dial 713-780-ESPN. Looking to outsource your company's HR and payroll? Get the top initiative and smart solutions with HRP.net.
You're listening to The Bench on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Presented by Prime Social. Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's John Granato and Lance Zierlein.
Tune into NFL draft coverage on ESPN 97.5, brought to you by Rexel. Coverage begins Thursday at 6 tomorrow, and it'll continue Friday at 5. So the Blitz is going to have some time off, apparently, and Saturday at noon. Visit RexelUSA.com to learn more about their services. We got the NFL draft starting tomorrow at 6. Now back to John and Lance.
Welcome back here on ESPN 97.5. I watched the Adam Sandler version of Longest Yard this weekend, and the inmates' uniforms looked better than the Texans. The inmates, did you see what Carolina did? Apparently, the Falcons' new uniforms, and they did their, you know, a guy standing there and looking badass in their new Falcons uniforms. And then they panned over, the Panthers panned over to a picture of Adam Sandler in his Longest Yard uniform, which looked almost identical to the Falcons' new uniforms. The apparently they were inspired by the Longest Yard.
With that color scheme, though.
Yeah.
Right?
Well,
there's not
right.
so much you can do unless you're ready to, you're willing to cross-pollinate the colors into a shirt. Like, do you want to put a bunch of black and red in one single shirt or pants? Like, they do it with tennis shoes, with colorways, with Adidas. They do it differently, but I don't know. I don't know that you can do a whole – I don't have high hopes for the Texans. Everyone wants the Texans. We're going to get some cool uniforms. There's not – what do you see that looks – not to sound unpatriotic, but what do you see that's got this hip, cool, edgy red, white, and blue? That's just not really the colors for – I don't think the Texans uniforms, you can do much with them. And they're not changing their colors. They're not – the Astros changed colors over the years. The Rockets did. The Texans named their colors. They have specific games. Liberty White Day, which 0% of the people care. John, have you ever met anyone who's like, oh, my God, do you realize that tomorrow is Deep Steel Red Day? Do you know that tomorrow's game? I totally forgot. This is going to be amazing. We've got Liberty Blue tomorrow. That's tomorrow. God, it sneaks up on us so fast. Well, Breast Cancer Awareness Day and then Liberty Red Day.
Well, there's a lot of – well, the people love the Battle Red Day, though, because everybody wears red in the crowd, and everybody bought that red jersey and everything
day. How does Deep Steel Blue do?
Deep Steel Blue is every – that's the common jersey for the Texans. Now, Liberty White Day, a whiteout, there's a lot of that going on as well, you know, when they have the whiteout.
Will they specifically honor the David Duke backfield that day this year?
Yeah, I think that is.
This is a problem. Tyler would have never said that.
No, see? No, the Liberty White Day is David Duke Day.
No, it's not. Yeah. You guys can't put that out there, that they're going to do Liberty White and call it a David Duke backfield. That's not what it is. It's Johnson & Johnson. They don't want a T-shirt that says David Duke's backfield or something like that.
What is Johnson & Johnson? Baby powder. What is that? White. What is
all
that?
All comes together, Lance, David, no matter dude, how you spin it.
Right.
Follow the money.
Follow it. Follow the names. Nobody thought about this before they signed David Johnson. Nobody thought about Duke and David Johnson.
Yeah, I don't imagine that crossed their mind. Guys, we're not going to bring in an overpriced, over-the-hill running back. You know why we're not going to do it? Because of the nicknames that stupid show 97.5 might come up with.
Well,
has anyone thought of this in marketing?
Is there any way can you see them in their marketing meetings? Hey, is there any way we can capitalize on this with some, you know, cool hoods or something?
I don't know. Are we looking to capture anything on the alt-right? Have we thought about reaching all segments of the population?
Well, listen, a hoodie with Johnson.
I know David Duke was back in the late 80s is when he got big, early 90s, but, you know, it's vintage. No, Davidson, we're not doing that. That's not who we are. Come up with a different one. How about Johnson & Johnson? I like it.
Yeah, but no. Okay, not unless they pay us. Not unless Johnson & Johnson's paying us. We ain't doing that.
Well, sponsorship.
No, they've got another name. They've got another name for that for it. I forget what it is. It's not Johnson & Johnson. It's something. They got something. The Johnson.
Is it called
Bros.
Fast and Slow?
No, it's not Fast and Slow either. It's it's the
nice
it's,
and smooth.
It's the 2016 boys. It's yeah, we're gonna be as good as we can.
2016 boys. Whoa, what a hot name.
Yep. Yeah. Well, they listen. That's what we got to get back to. We got to get back to our 2016 form. Okay. We got to get back. Yeah. Yeah. I think Keuchel's a perfect example. Yeah. We got to get back to when Dallas Keuchel was good. That's what we're getting back to. That's what we all got to. That to me was the first thing.
By the way, John, guess what I'm getting ready to do.
2016 form. Oh, good. What?
Guess what I'm getting ready to do, John?
Get a new
Go
phone?
Go up to the studio for the first time and try not to get the Rona in the studio, and I get to see my good friend, Del Olale.
Well, we're out of we're not friends, by the way. We're out of like disinfectant spray, so you might want to bring some to wipe down your area.
What
then
are you
I'm
doing?
I'm going to yell from 6 feet away.
Oh, that's one option.
What are you doing?
Well, he's driving up because his internet is
that
internet's trash.
Yeah, my signal because I'm committed to the show sounded good, so I'm going to risk my life.
Oh, you're going to risk? Oh, you're going there now. During the middle of the
show.
Yeah,
I'm literally driving there now. I will be on the next segment. I'll be on a beautiful line. It'll be the best line. No line's been better ever. The best.
Well, see, that is somebody that cares. Now there's caring about the show, risking life and limb for the show, for the people.
Wait a minute, I do that every other day. What are you talking about?
Yeah, I know.
No, there's hardly anyone at the station. This is your dream come true.
Are you really?
It's like an apocalypse, and you love it.
You're doing the same thing. You're coming up here, and there's no one here but me.
That's the way I'm doing it because no one's up there.
Listen. Yeah, I mean, yeah, you're not worried about being in there. Tyler, it's not like Tyler does anything. You don't have to worry about him.
It's not just
Charlie
Tyler.
Charlie Polillo, I'm worried.
Tyler's not here.
Out there now.
Tyler doesn't show up today. You think that?
No, but he was on that mic yesterday.
And so was Aaron. So was Nick. Nick was on the mic, too.
Yeah, Nick doesn't do it. Nick? No, I ain't worried about Nick. It's Charlie Polillo you got to worry about.
Well,
okay?
It's probably late hits he has to worry about. Oh,
I feel like Charlie's got to be worried about.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Oh, Charlie's out there with the kids.
Right. What? What did
He's
you just say?
He's out there partying.
I thought you were doing that Death by Sexy thing.
No, I'm not doing the Death by Sexy thing. That's
wow.
That is terrible, what Death by Sexy does. Charlie's out partying, okay? So that's what you got to worry about. All right? So, Lance, make sure you don't go
on that. I'm going up the elevator now. So when I come back, I want to get more into this Tampa. We didn't get to do enough on the Tampa thing because – I feel like everything that we talk about right now, for me at least personally, is tinted with, I can't get excited. I wonder if Tampa's going to win the division. And then I go, I wonder if we're playing football this year.
Yeah. Oh, you can't be existential about everything. 7:59 ESPN.
Existential, it's right now the NFL isn't going to even consider until they've got testing, until they know that they're not going to have their people get sick. NBA has to come back. Baseball, the NBA is not. NBA is not coming back this year.
May, June, July. I mean, you got 3 months before they're even going to training camp. So, I mean,
you think baseball comes back?
I think baseball's got a chance to come back in June. Yeah.
Yeah, and Fauci said something. There's a story in the rundown. Fauci said there's a way you could even have
fans.
Less fans, but fans in the stands too. So,
yeah.
I mean. Money is involved. I mean, I'm sure baseball will find a way to get all the testing they need to make sure they play games.
Right. All right, 7:59, 8 o'clock now, ESPN 97.5, 7:30, Lance in studio. Next, risking life and limb for you.
ESPN 97.5.